I'm Jan Lyons, and I'm president of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and I'm a producer from Manhattan, Kansas. Today it is indeed an honor that I have to introduce to you a special guest that we have with us. Mike Johanns brings extraordinary credentials to the position of U.S. Agriculture Secretary. He was born and raised on a dairy operation in Iowa. After leaving the farm, Secretary Johanns turned to law early in his professional career. After earning his law degree from Creighton University in Omaha, he practiced law in O'Neill, Nebraska, and then in Lincoln, Nebraska. While Secretary Johanns is best known for being governor of Nebraska, which is, of course, as you all know, one of the nation's top cattle-producing states, he has a long resume of successful and fiscally responsibility at the local level. You know, to test, just a true test of his popularity in the state of Nebraska is attested by all of this sea of red that we have down front. I hate to mention it, but I don't think I've seen that much excitement since the last K-State Nebraska game. In 1998, Governor Johanns was elected governor of Nebraska. He was reelected in 2002, and he served until stepping down just 2 weeks ago. You know, coming from cattle country, Secretary Johanns understands the challenges that you and I face every day. He understands our way of life. NCBA is very supportive of this secretary. We are so excited, and we share the president's utmost confidence that he will serve cattle producers and all of agriculture very well. In fact, you may say that we had a hand in him being where he is, because as you all remember, we were the only national trade organization to step out strongly, and our PAC did endorse the reelection of George W. Bush this year. We're very proud of that, and we're very supportive of this administration. He stands tall for us, and we will stand tall for him. Long before beef exports became regular front page news, though, Secretary Johanns understood the importance of opening expanded markets for beef and other U.S. products. As governor of Nebraska, he was extremely active in the leading trade delegations to key export markets and in efforts to drive increased demand for our products. He led these efforts not only for his own state, but also through the leadership he provided to organizations such as the Western Governors Association. In addition to Secretary Johanns' experience with international trade, his advocacy for drought relief for the nation's farmers and ranchers, his involvement with many critical economic and regulatory issues, illustrate clearly his deep commitment to agriculture. Mike Johanns has truly blazed the path of success and productivity in every endeavor he has undertaken, and I am confident that this undertaking will be no different. We look forward to his comments today, and won't you join me in giving him our most heartfelt welcome, an NCBA welcome, Secretary Mike Johanns.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Well, thank you. It's great to be here. That great introduction and that nice welcome reminds me of a story I just recently told in Washington. I used to tell it in Nebraska, so my Nebraska friends have probably heard it. I had just been elected governor. It was 1998. And Stephanie and I were invited to go out to Kearney, Nebraska. And so we drove out there. We had a nice evening with folks. And I was invited to be the keynote speaker at this event. And So after a nice meal and a great introduction, I made my way to the podium. And I got to the podium and I said, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's really very nice of you, but I haven't done anything yet. And somebody in back stood up and yelled out, and when you do, we won't be standing. So it is good to be here. It's great to see so many friends from Nebraska right there in the front row. I've got a little special assignment for the folks from Nebraska. When you go back home, if you see my kids, Justin and Michaela, tell them I found work in Washington, all right? So, well, good morning to each and every one of you, and let me just say thank you. Thank you, Jan, for such a generous introduction. And to each and every one of you, thank you for inviting me here today. I appreciate it immensely. I also want to go on a little bit and say thanks to Jan for her really outstanding leadership during a really challenging year for the president of the NCBA. A lot of things on the plate. She's done a great job. I'd like to also recognize your fantastic staff who do such a great job representing America's ranchers and promoting beef really all over the world. They do good work for you. I also want to say hello and welcome to Jan's successor, Jim McAdams. Jim and I met down here very quickly. He's taking up the reins, as you know. Jim and I guess, both have new job descriptions, and I know Jim's going to do a great job for you. I would also like to take a moment, if I might, to recognize our USDA team members who are here as well. We have many representatives from a variety of programs. That includes USDA Rural Development, who are here at the trade show, I might mention for the first time. They are here to help show farmers and ranchers what economic and community development programs are available. So if you get a chance to say hi to them, you should do it. Before I begin, though, I want to begin by reading a letter. A great friend of yours asked me to bring this letter out to you. And it reads like this. I send greetings to those gathered for the 107th Annual Cattle Industry Convention hosted by the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. America's ranchers are among the first and the best stewards of our land, providing a healthy, safe, and plentiful food supply for our nation. Ranch families embody the best values of America, and their success is essential to our economy. Since 1898, the NCBA has worked to promote the economic, political, and social interests of the U.S. cattle business. This conference provides an opportunity to learn about the latest innovations and services in the cattle industry and to network with other cattle producers. My administration is committed to supporting America's farmers and ranchers. The policies that we've pursued over the last 4 years have revived our economy and have helped our farmers and ranchers earn greater income and sell record amounts of food abroad. We'll keep working to open new markets, to enforce trade laws, and expand conservation programs to help farmers and ranchers, and to protect our soil, water, and wildlife. We also stand behind family farmers and ranchers by working to keep taxes low and to ensure the federal death tax is repealed permanently. That's an applause line. I commend the NCBA and all those dedicated to advancing the cattle industry. Your efforts help strengthen our economy and enhance the quality of life in our rural communities. Laura joins me in sending our best wishes. Signed, President of the United States, George W. Bush. I'm going to invite Jan to come back out here as a little memory of her time here. I was asked to bring the original letter from President Bush, Jan, and I know he would be very, very excited about me presenting this to you directly. So from the President of the United States, here's the letter.
Wow. Thank you. Can I just say something?
This special delivery beats the U.S. Postal Service.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first speech I've made outside of Washington since joining the president's team, and I can't think of a greater place for my debut. After all, I've lived most of my life in Nebraska, and for the last 6 years, as Jan indicated, I was the governor, and the issues of cattlemen were always very, very close to my heart. As the introduction indicated, I was raised on a dairy farm near a little community in north central Iowa, Mitchell County. And the community we called our hometown was Osage, Iowa. Now, I can see out there and I can see the furrowed brows and the expressions on your face. You're sitting there saying to yourself, where is Osage, Iowa? Well, I want to clear that up right at the start here, too, today. Osage is just down the road from Stacyville. It's near Mitchell, and St. Ansgar's right in that same vicinity. So, you know, dairy farmers are also beef producers. As we were talking about some of the things that I wanted to visit with you about today, we were reminiscing about my life out there and growing up on that dairy farm. We used to buy bottle calves when I was young. Of course, our first assignment was to teach them how to drink out of a bucket. A bottle calf doesn't have any idea how to drink out of a bucket, and they would buck that bucket, and you'd have knuckles that were red from trying to teach them. Then bucket to feed, and if you've ever brought in some bottle calves and put them in the barn, they bellow all night. So, fond memories of those years. I've worked on a lot of issues over the years relating to your industry. I was working on the BSE issue long before coming to Washington. I will tell you what I told the Senate Ag Committee and what I told the President when he visited with me about this job. Agriculture is just a passion of mine. This is a dream for me, and it's a dream come true. As a matter of fact, one of the reasons I accepted this position was that the President understands that passion. Ladies and gentlemen, do you ever have a friend in the White House, not just to the beef industry, but to all of agriculture? I can tell you that from personal experience and in the conversations we've had. He loves this industry, and he loves the people. That's why I am so incredibly humbled and proud to be able to speak here on his behalf about the important issues that we will face together in the next few months, but of course in the next years. Together is the operative part of that sentence, the key part of it. Together means that we look for ways to forge partnerships. Now, of course, that means we may not always agree on everything, but I'll promise you one thing right here and now. Just like it was during the time I was governor, my door will always be open. I'll listen. I'll respect your views, and I'll do everything I can to take them into account. I had an opportunity, the first full day on the job as Secretary of Agriculture, to speak to some of the USDA employees right there at the building in Washington. And I talked to them about my first experience in walking into the office of the Secretary. It was quite an experience for me. And there in the corner is a bust of a former president, a gentleman by the name of Abraham Lincoln. Why would his statue be there? Because it was Abraham Lincoln that formed this department. Interestingly enough, when he created the United States Department of Agriculture, he referred to it as the People's Department. So I like to say that I'm the Secretary of the People's Department, the United States Department of Agriculture. Now, in that spirit, we want to make sure that we pay attention to his legacy by treating everyone with respect and dignity and equality. And of course, I mentioned that to the employees. It's so important to me. Open door and trust that we at the USDA can do everything we can to work with you. Partnerships are force multipliers. They let us do far more with less. You know, in our state and in many of your states, we've been going through a very, very difficult time with drought. Last year was a little bit better, but we're really in one of those long drought cycles that occur. And if you're in the western United States, you can relate to that. To give you an example of partnership with the Bush administration, we started talking to them about some programs that might help, and somebody came up with the idea that maybe that non-fat dairy milk, that dried product that was in storage, might be of some help. And so the idea was brought forward to use that as a mix and feed. And I'll never forget the day that we announced that program. I believe that my director of agriculture, Merlin Carlson, and I and some others were all there. And we went to a community out in ranch country, a beautiful area of our state called Valentine. And in front of a lot of people, we talked about this program, and it was all ranchers that were there because they were looking for what might help. And I have to tell you, when we announced it, they kind of looked at us like, does this make any sense? And yet, as we put the program in place, I had rancher after rancher saying, you know, that did help, and we appreciate it. The program could not have succeeded without the states. We saw this up close, but it also could not have succeeded without the private sector. Governors and state ag directors and commissioners and in the private sector were all critical to making this program work. These partnerships show that on all levels, in the private sector and in the public sector alike, there is a widespread cooperative commitment to helping our beef industry and the entire ag sector grow and prosper. But that commitment comes right from the top. It comes from your president, the President of the United States. Now, on Monday, President Bush will present a proposal for the federal government's fiscal year 2006 budget. Monday's a very, very big day. His budget is one that will help to promote not just the health of agriculture, but very, very importantly, the continuing economic health of our entire nation. As you are all well aware, the federal government is in a deficit situation. The president believes that in order to continue our economic growth and to create jobs, we have to address this deficit. Every federal agency is going to be asked to do its part. USDA is part of the team, and we will be no exception. But the budget invests in many ways that will have a strong impact on America's beef industry, and I'd just like to highlight some things. For example, the president's budget includes a $37 million increase to provide more conservation assistance to help livestock producers develop nutrient management plans, and to comply with environmental regulations. This is a sign of our belief that those who work the land are the best stewards of the land. It also includes a $10 million increase in the Grazing Lands Conservation Initiative to enhance invasive species prevention, management, and restoration activities. The federal government also has a responsibility to be a good steward of the land. That is why President Bush's budget includes $34 million increase in funding for the Healthy Forests Initiative. The Healthy Forests Initiative helped give us the tools to treat a record 4.2 million acres last year. The president's budget sustains and expands upon this commitment. The budget also includes $596 million for the Food and Agriculture Defense Initiative an increase of $144 million over the 2005 enacted level. We know, the President knows, that food safety and consumer confidence directly affect the people in this room. These funds will help us address those and other homeland security issues, such as intentional or accidental threats to the food supply. Of course, one of the most important issues currently facing us and all of your business is BSE. Ladies and gentlemen, I remember December 23, 2003. You do also. In Nebraska, after the first discovery in the United States, everyone wondered what would happen next. Would people stop buying beef? Would exports be banned forever? Where would the industry end up? On December 24th, the day after we received the news, I stood there in my conference room, flanked by the president of the Nebraska Cattlemen Association and Farm Bureau, and we stood up to the microphone to reassure our public. In fact, I told them that that was my anniversary day, and one of the ways that Stephanie and I have celebrated our anniversary in all the years we've been married is to have a great steak in the evening. And we did that night and enjoyed it and have many times since then. Fortunately, USDA also swung into action. And its partners swung into action. Significant new protection measures were taken. Industry promotions helped to educate the public. And NCBA should be applauded for your leadership in this area. And now, more than a year later, the market for American beef remains strong. There's the big reason for that. Americans rightly feel that it is safe, absolutely safe, to eat our beef. That confidence has sustained our industry. Our job is to work together to maintain and even increase that confidence. So how do we go about doing that? Well, first, we have to base our decisions on vigorous science. In a rapidly changing world marketplace, science is the universal language that must guide our rules and our policies rather than subjectivity or politics. That is why President Bush's budget proposal includes another item that's going to be of great interest to you, an increase in BSE research by $7.3 million, or 155% over 2005. Thank you, Mr. President. But you see, it's that kind of emphasis on science that allows us to focus on what is best for American agriculture, not only now, but in the long run. If we ignore science in favor of short-term gains, we risk jeopardizing the long-term viability of the entire American beef market. Yesterday, as you know, I testified before Congress about BSE and about our science-based approach and the policies that resulted. Talked a lot about the minimal risk rule as an example. Knowing how important that decision was, USDA was careful to make the entire process open and transparent. We appreciate your participation. We listened to opinions from all across the country. As a matter of fact, there were two comment periods for this rule, and we did receive over 3,300 comments. We examined those comments, we studied them, we listened to what people were saying, and we examined the best science that was available. We carefully identified risk mitigation factors. In the end, I believe the rule that was published was done in a process that was careful and open, and it was science-based and deliberative. I am confident that it preserves consumer safety because it is based upon science about BSE. That scientific basis for understanding BSE is also critical in our efforts to reopen markets that were closed to American beef. I want you to know that this administration has been tireless in its efforts. And you know, I have the best person doing the most and that's the President of the United States. He has personally brought up this issue with Prime Minister of Japan. In 2003, the total export value of U.S. beef and ruminant products, total export value, was $7.5 billion. It's a big number. After December 23, 2003, 64% of that market slammed shut. It was immediately closed. One animal, 64% of that market closed. Well, today I can report to you that we have recovered well over a third of that, with 41%, or about 3.1 remaining closed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I can't take much credit for that because the reopening of that occurred before I arrived. And it happened because we convinced countries of the scientific basis of the actions. Now, Japan alone represents nearly half of what's left. And as a leader in Asia, it's even more crucial that we do everything we can to reopen that border. We have the framework in place to get us there. We have science on our side. What remains is the need for a consistent, strong effort on the part of the American team. And I will emphasize again, we're led by the President. I guarantee that our focus, my focus, will not shift until the job is done. But as you know, as many know who have traveled all over the world with me on trade missions, trade is a two-way street, or maybe it can be more accurately described as an eight-lane superhighway. We can't behave as if what's good for the United States is not good for the rest of the world. We can't treat Asia one way and then our neighbors another way. We can't proclaim to the world, do as I say, not as I do. That's not how trade works, not in the 21st century. NCBA, let me pause a moment to just say a few words. You've been a leader over the years in fair trade, and it was your efforts those many years ago that liberalized the Japanese market for U.S. beef and grew export markets to levels that are beyond maybe what anyone could have imagined. NCBA, you have demonstrated over and over again your understanding of how trade works in a global marketplace, and you're to be applauded for that. I have some background in trade, as you know. 8 trade missions as governor. Many of the people in the front row here have traveled all over the world with me to market our ag products. The state that I used to represent is the 4th largest exporter of ag products. We understand how important markets are. You do too. Trade is vital to our economic success. I'll just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, can't destroy trade and expect anything good to come out of it for American agriculture. We're just too dominant in that area. It's too big a part of our economic fabric. Closing trade invites the industry to restructure. Beef processing moves to the other side of the border. It does. The industry is dynamic and vital, and quite honestly, that's what happens. The rule that has gotten so much attention reflects this belief that we can resume trade with our partners, and by doing so, we will preserve consumer safety and enhance our beef industry. As you know, the discussion these days is about Canada. Canada is the first country to be designated in the rulemaking process as minimal risk. We know amongst some this has been popular. We know amongst others it has not. But again, it was a decision based upon a scientific approach with a strong eye, never looking the other way from the need to protect consumer safety in the long-term health of this industry. I know that making short-term popular decisions that jeopardize your future is not what I am about or should be about. If a nation presents minimal risk as a trading partner, then trade should resume with all the proper safeguards. Otherwise, one event slams the door shut. Virtually the whole world shut off beef trade because of one cow in December of 2003. That must never happen again. It is the same that we would ask any other country regarding our producers. And I can guarantee that as this process goes forward, we will continue to examine every bit of new information that may inform our decision-making process. As you know, right now, we do have a technical team in Canada examining recent BSE cases. And I know you've had your team up there as well. And we appreciate your proactive work in this area on this issue. I've read your report, got it this week. I studied it very, very carefully. Let me just tell you, once again, your people have done good work. And your conclusions are being very, very carefully and thoughtfully considered from beginning to end. Our team's investigation will also help us further evaluate the Canadian protection systems and guide the policy decisions. While science guides our policies, we are also aware of all of the economics involved. Your team questioned the numbers of the USDA, says that we actually overestimated the numbers relative to cattle that might be due to come over the border. I might mention that your team actually was working off of more current data, and once again, we're looking at your analysis very, very carefully. It's been factored in. We've discussed it. We've asked ourselves where we are at in terms of those numbers. But we also know that reopening the markets that are currently closed will more than offset the effects of imports from Canada. Ladies and gentlemen, I would suggest to you it's because of trade, not in spite of it, that I believe we can continue to compete, to grow, and to succeed. And I firmly believe that our beef industry is the strongest and the best in the world. I was proud that the first commodity production report I signed as Secretary of Agriculture about a week ago was the cattle inventory report, which told us that producers are rebuilding their herds. You know, I looked at the graphs and the numbers, but I was also able, from personal experience, to share another part of the story, a more personal story. I know for many, especially in those states that have been in this drought cycle, there's been some tough times. I didn't learn that because I read about it. I learned it because I experienced it with our ranchers. I walked through pastures with ranchers and their spouses, where there was nothing there in that pasture except grasshoppers and stubble. Hay was expensive and calves were being weaned early.